Good morning. It's Wednesday, 17th of February. Our New Testament reading today is Mark chapter 13. I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Purkis. I read. The contrast between the feelings of Jesus as he left the temple for the last time and the thoughts of the disciples throws a poignant light upon the darkened minds of the 12. In that light, we are able to discern something of the loneliness of the Saviour. To him, the stately building must have spoken of the obstinacy and pride of man, blinded by his own self-sufficiency to the grace of God, and oblivious of his impending doom. Its imposing strength was full of menace for him. It filled him not with fear, but with sadness. Its ministers were about to enjoy their triumph, the triumph of a form of godliness that denied the power, the triumph of man's selfishness, hypocrisy, and greed. But it was to be a bloody victory. Generations yet unborn would reap banishment, persecution, and despair. But as the disciples looked up at its commanding beauty and watched the evening sun gilding its colonnades, they had very different thoughts. They were filled only with awe at its strength and rejoiced in its magnificence. Master, they said, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Gently, Jesus led them from the danger of being deceived by the imposing nature of material things. Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. As the evening shadows lengthened, they made their way out to the Mount of Olives. Perplexed and humbled by his answer, they asked him a twofold question. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? In what has become known as the Olivet Prophecy, Jesus answered these two questions. In these years, we have naturally made use of it as evidence of the nearness of our Lord's return. Such emphasis may tend to divert us from its more urgent, personal message. Jesus set forth conditions attending the end of both the Jewish and the Gentile dispensations, but the greater part of his words is devoted to the hearts and minds of the disciples. For them, it is full of warning and encouragement. Jesus confessed that neither he nor the angels knew the exact time or season of his return. In a sense, it was not an important question. Many children of the kingdom would live and die outside its orbit. Our lives must not be absorbed with speculation, but with preparation. Jesus spoke to the 12 of events shortly to come to pass. They must not be deceived or deterred by false Christs arising amongst them. He spoke of coming turmoil and bloodshed, to be preceded by their own persecution and suffering. They must not waver under trial. It would be a testimony that they were following their Lord. He turned to their second question and told them of the distress which would overtake the whole earth before his return, of the tumultuous roaring of peoples which we have grown to know so well, the eclipse of kings, the frantic strivings of statesmen to find solutions to situations from which there would be no way out. He spoke of the terror of the inhabitants of the earth as they recognised the relentless menace of powers they were unable to control. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, he said, raising his eyes above the tensely listening disciples and addressing us over the centuries, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. What a wonderfully comforting message that is in these troubled times. Thank you for listening.